My, my, my. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to feel this holy presence. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm addicted to it. Amen. I got to have it every day. Glory to God. Sometimes I got to have it more than once a day. Sometimes I can't go 15 minutes without getting it again. Hallelujah. I've been on the mountain with Jesus, and I've been in the valley so low, but not one time has he failed me. When to him with my trouble I go, so let me walk with you, Jesus. Don't ever, ever leave me alone. For without you, I could never. Have you been there? I've been on the mountain with Jesus, and I've been in the valley so low. I like this part. But not one time has he failed me, and he never will. When to him with my trouble I go, so let me walk with you, Jesus, and don't ever, ever leave me alone. Please, don't ever leave me alone. For without you, I could never, no, never make heaven my home. How many loves Jesus? Jesus, with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your body, everything that is within you, let him praise the Lord. You don't have an excuse. He that hath breath, let him praise the Lord. Let him praise him. When you're on the mountain, let him praise him. When you're in the valley, let him praise him. When things ain't going your way, let him praise him. Amen. When we come into the sanctuary, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated.
That is, if you can. Praise God. I don't know about you, but something about me just likes to stand up. Man.
Amen.
Praise God. I don't know if they're going to have any chairs in heaven or not. No rocking chairs anyway, maybe. Yes, ma'am. Sure, amen. Yes, amen.
Long distance, 50 miles. Would you do that? Not
Amen.
Because let me tell you, we're a lazy generation.
Yes,
praise
God. Jesus wants somebody that's excited about him.
Hallelujah.
We all have troubles. If you're not one of them, you don't have a problem. I got problems in my life.
Amen.
Now let me tell you right now, sit there if you want to. Jesus is coming soon.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Thank God.
And if you don't have something to tell somebody about, then you need to get on your knees and pray.
Praise God.
Jesus is coming.
Yes, amen. Yes, amen.
Brother Eddie, I have to say that. Because how can you come in here and sit, time after time,
amen.
But God has done so much for me.
Yes, thank God.
There's problems, yes, there's problems. But he's greatly to be praised.
Amen.
You better wake up. If you haven't been filled with his spirit before, he said, come.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
amen. Amen.
Glory to God. I give him the praise because he can hear every word I say.
Praise God.
Amen.
And I had to say it, Brother Eddie. I'm sorry. No, I'm not. Thank you. You know, my daughter's been speaking at her church over the latest ministry for the past 5 weeks. And I've got to go to them so because I'm closer to her now. She did real well, and I was proud of her. I know the Lord loved her. But you know what? At the end of this time, she says, I apologize if I got it. I said, no, you don't. Don't apologize.
Amen.
Don't apologize. If it's what God told you to do, do it heartily unto the Lord and not to man.
Yes.
I'm sorry, brother.
Praise
but
God.
I had to say it.
All right.
Yes.
We sit on our rear ends too long.
Yes.
And it's time to wake up.
Amen.
Myself first.
Yes, glory.
I'm not excluding myself. So wake up. Be thankful. You know, be proud that you still have freedom to come to the house of God.
Amen.
Because it may not be too late.
Amen.
Praise God.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you all. Praise God. Hallelujah. It is a blessing, amen, to come into the sanctuary of God. Amen. Praise God. If you have your Bibles this morning, go with us to the book of 1 Samuel. And the 23rd chapter from the book of 1 Samuel. Amen. We do need a wake-up call. Amen. Certainly. Certainly. The time for slumbering and sleeping is over. Amen. Let the church rise up. Amen. In 1 Samuel chapter number 23, I want to read two verses this morning, verse number 13 and verse number 14. Again, 1 Samuel chapter number 23, 13 and 14. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's precious and holy word. Then David and his men, which were about 600, arose and departed out of Keilah and went whithersoever they could go. And it was told Saul that David was escaped from Keilah, and he forbare to go forth. And David abode in the wilderness in strongholds, and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, God, for the opportunity and for the desire that we have to come together this morning. Father, I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would anoint this service. God, would anoint these lips of clay, this body, this vessel this morning. God, that you might speak to our hearts. God, that we might be receptive, submissive, and obedient to Your Word and to Your will. Father, I pray that we lay aside every weight this morning. God, Lord, I pray, God, that we'll be in tune and focused to Your Spirit this morning, God. If there's any needs here, Lord, I know that You are one that can meet those needs. If there's sickness here, You are the healer of the body. And Father, we pray now that this word would go forth, that You might get honor and glory. And we ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise again. Amen. You may be seated. My, I feel a strong presence of the Holy Ghost this morning. How many is thankful for that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. I am very thankful. I don't want to let a day go by that I don't thank the Lord for what He has brought me from and what He has blessed me with. I want to bring a message this morning entitled, God's Safety Zone. God's Safety Zone. And I want to suggest at least three things to practice to take full advantage of God's safety zone. I believe sometimes we as Christians fail to realize the power and the keeping power of Almighty God. The reason I say that is we seem to become alarmed at certain circumstances or situations that arise in our life. We sometimes become perplexed when we can't figure out, amen, a way through or around these issues. Many, many times the Bible tells us to put our faith and trust in God. Amen, regardless, because God already knows the outcome. We're wringing our hands when God already has the answer on the way. I love the song, "There's a Miracle in the Making." You know, if we really believe that, every time that song was sung, I believe absolutely the power of God would hit this congregation, would hit us individually if we could realize there's a miracle in the making, one customized just for you, hey, one that the Father right now is making just for you. Nobody, it fits nobody else but you, and I thank God for that. But many, many times when we're going through different things, so many times I think we fail to really put our faith and trust in God, and we begin to worry. We were on our way back from camping trip this week, and Friday we were driving back, and we were on the 4-lane, and it came one of those southern thunder boomers. I mean, when the heavens opened up, and it poured a rain. I mean, this wasn't spiritual rain. It wasn't that ladder rain. This was natural rain. And it came down. The wind was blowing, and you could see flashers coming on and brake lights. And it was almost to the point of visibility being around zero. I had the wipers going fast as they could, and I was sitting up on the steering wheel trying to see. And I said, my goodness, this is awful. We just got to be real, real careful. And Trey's in the back, and he says, "Papa, God is going to take care of us because God can do anything." Amen. Aren't you glad? God's going to take care of us because God can do anything. And you know what? I felt that. I felt the faith of that child, and it seemed like God's safety zone just encamped around about our truck. Amen. And we drove on through, and a little bit later, the rains let up, and the sun began to shine, and I said, "Thank you, Lord. You brought me through another storm." If we can put our faith and trust in God like little Trey does when we're facing that spiritual storm, and it's not a natural rain. It's a rain of problems and trials and setbacks and all of those things. Don't fear. God has never failed us yet. He's not going to start failing us now. Just hold on. The sun's going to shine again. Because God has placed us in a safety zone. Amen. A zone was defined as an area having particular features, purpose, or use. Now, God doesn't move His safety zone. Sister Linda referred to, we move. We move. There are warning signs at a railroad crossing. There are actual arms that come down and flash. But yet, there's some impatient cars that go around those and trying to reach their destination. There are amber lights. How many knows there's three lights on a traffic light? Red means. Green means. Yellow means go a little faster. No, actually it was intended to slow us down, but we've missed that. We think it means to step on the gas because it's about to turn red.
It is a warning sign that so many times we don't heed. How many knows that there's warning signs in this world today? There are warning signs every day of our life. God is trying to warn us of things that are taking place, current events that are happening, things that are happening in families' lives and individuals' lives. And so many times, rather than stop or slow down and wait on the leadership of God or the Holy Spirit, we speed up and try to go that much faster. Seemingly getting out of God's safety zone. Now, I'm not telling you that God can't keep us safe everywhere we go. There's places sometimes God wants us to stay. Sometimes God wants us to move, and sometimes God wants us to stay. The safety zone that I'm talking about this morning, I want to suggest three things to practice to take full advantage. First, in order to take full advantage of the safety zone that God has placed in order for us to keep us, is the word that we use so very much. It's called faith. I believe we must have faith in order to take full advantage of God's safety zone. David had faith. David practiced faith. He asked God's guidance in everything that he did. Now, I just want to catch you up just a little bit about the 23rd and 24th chapter of the book of 1 Samuel. David was on the run away from Saul because Saul's jealousy had risen to a point that he was so frustrated and afraid that the popularity of the people was going to place David as king rather than himself, and this made Saul very angry. So much so that he sought the life of David. But Saul had other things going on in his life too. The Philistines were constantly invading the land. So his army sometimes was split. Part of his army would have to go and defend the land against the invasion of the Philistines. Others would go off and try to chase David and his 600 men around. He began to do them harm. And David knew that the Lord was on his side. David began to pray. You know, this is not the only time that people have gotten ahead of the Lord. Amen. Many, many times in the Bible, Jacob and his mother got ahead of the Lord. Many others, Moses even got ahead of the Lord without waiting or without fully obeying what God's word was. So we find that Saul and his army are fighting on two fronts. The Philistines, and then he's trying to encircle David and capture him. But David, in all of this, continued to have faith in God. It is not so difficult to have faith when everything around you is going good. Man, I got great faith, not having any problems, but let that thing turn opposite. Let those problems begin to come. Let those things say, I don't know what else is going to happen today. I can't believe all this is going on. And then sometimes we begin to act without faith, and we begin to try to work situations out ourselves. David prayed constantly. David knew of a situation. Because here's the thing about this conflict. Church, I want you to listen to this, okay? I really want you to take heed of this. Saul and his army were fighting against the enemy, the Philistines. David and his 600 men were fighting against the Philistines. But because David and his 600 men were on the run from Saul and his army, there was conflict there. You want total victory? Get conflict out of the church. You won't all get on the same side, regardless of what denomination you call yourself, as long as you're a Bible believer and believe in the redemption blood of Jesus Christ. Quit fighting among yourselves. Quit squabbling among yourselves. Understand that we're on the side of the Lord. And I got news for you. We're going to win. The Bible tells us that we will be winners. Hallelujah! But when there's discord, when there's conflict, it's very difficult for us to have faith in the Lord because of the squabbling and the conflict inside. When both David and his 600 men should have been joined with Saul and his army for a common cause against Satan. That's my adversary, not my brother. Not my sister, not the church down the road. Amen. My adversary is that evil one who comes as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. It's time for the church to unite. It's time for the church to get on their knees. It's time for the church to say, Lord, bind us together as one common alpha army to fight against our foe, the adversary. But in this time, David, being the faithful servant of God, got news that the enemy was going to attack the little city of Keilah. So he talks to his men, and his men, they don't want to go. We're on the run from Saul. We don't really need to get any closer to Saul, because Saul will, with his army, will take us and they will annihilate us. And David listens to that. But there's something in his spirit. Can I just say, sometimes when there's something in your spirit, you don't need to ask anybody else about it. Come on. You don't need their approval. You don't need their opinion. You don't need their counseling. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, who better to lead us, who better to guide us than that is within us? So David's not satisfied, and he goes and he asks God. And he says, God, do you want us to go to Keilah? God answers, yes. Do you want us to fight against the enemy and save and deliver the town of Keilah? God says, yes, go. Now this is where faith comes in. Now we'll jump all over David for asking God again, but I guarantee you there's many, many times we ask God 3 or 4 times before we actually receive it. God, are you sure you want me to do this? David, being human, yet faith, asked God again. God, do you want me to go to Keilah to save the men and women of Keilah? God says, yes, go. And he got his 600 men, and they went to the little town of Keilah, and they defeated, absolutely defeated, the enemy that was coming against the little town of Keilah, and he saved them from utter destroying, amen, utter annihilation. And do you think that the people were grateful? Probably for a little while. Amen. So sometimes the spirit wears off so quick. Sometimes the spirit we get in Sunday morning don't last no sooner than we can get to the house. Or to I-20. Or to the amber light. Then that spirit kind of leaves us. Amen. So, David and his 600 men are in the city of Keilah, which absolutely is in the city or in the nation of Judah in the mountainous region. Now, I'm saying all that geography because God uses geography. God knows where the strongholds are. I said, God knows where the mountains are. God knows where the safety zone is. Sometimes you and I lose sight of it. Sometimes we can't find it. We're groping around in spiritual darkness, and we can't seem to find the safety zone. But if we're led by the Spirit of God, God knows where the strongholds are. God knows where the mountains are. He knows where the city of refuge is. Just continue to have faith in God. So David and his men are in the city of Keilah, which just happens to have walls and bars around it. It's not a political correct city. That's as far as I'm going with that. But Saul gets his messenger, and his messenger comes and says, Saul, David and his men are in Keilah. Saul says, man, God has delivered David into my hands. It's amazing to me that sometimes secular folks can call on God and when things go right, then they just forget Him. I said, secular folks. Spiritual folks need a better memory. God ever healed you? God ever delivered you? God ever healed you? Healed children? God ever made a way from you? We need spiritual memory. Hallelujah. We need to remember what God has done and thank Him. Saul said, God has delivered David into my hands. Sometimes we get in God's business and we call things done that God hasn't done. Come on. We try to sanction our own word and want God to rubber stamp it. Hello? So Saul says, we go down there because this city has gates and walls around it. He can't get out. David found out about it and he goes to God. God, will Saul come down to the city of Keilah? God said, Saul will come down. David, in his faithful prayer, says, God, will the men of Keilah turn us over to the hand of Saul? No, wait a minute. These are the people that David and his 600 men just delivered. Just saved their lives. Just saved their city. And God says, yes, the men of Keilah will turn you and your men over to the hand of Saul. Sometimes when we think the battle is over. Amen. We've seen the miraculous hand of God intercede in our situation and turn the impossibility into a possibility. Make wrong things become right. Make dark things become light. Make things, amen, that were giving us problems, all of a sudden they're gone. We get in our complacent, comfortable seats. Amen. Because we think the battle's over. But God warned David. He said, yes, those same people that you just saved will turn you in. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, Brother Eddie, why did God let him go save them? Because God's in the saving business. Amen. Can I just give you a little pastoral advice? Those folks that God lays on your heart to pray a prayer for their salvation, and then they turn around and stab you in the back, don't you quit praying for them. Come on, don't you quit loving them. Don't you quit forgiving them. Amen. I know they've done you wrong, but pray for them anyway. Amen. It's not so hard to pray for those that love you, but hard to pray sometimes for those that spitefully use you. And God takes you to the first step further. Not only pray for them, but pray for your enemies. Amen. Pray for each and every person out there. I know David could have been upset. Amen. But he listened to the voice of God. So David and his men began to leave the city of Keilah and go wheresoever they would. Now that doesn't mean just go do what you want to do. That basically means wherever the will of God takes me. You remember the pillar of fire? You remember the cloud of smoke? Amen. When it stopped, what did the children of Israel do? Put on the brakes. Amen. When the pillar began to move, what did the children of Israel do? They got their camp ready and they took off. So many times we want to take off and the pillar of fire is still there. The cloud of smoke is not moved yet. There's times to tarry. There's times to move. Amen. And we need to be, amen, attentive to the move and the power of God. Amen. So David and his, and the men went and took up their abode in the wilderness in strongholds or fortresses and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph, a man that just happened to be in the land of Judah, and it just happened to be the land of David and his descendants and those before him, the land of Judah. Can I give you a little more pastoral advice? When you're seeking solace, when you're seeking comfort, when you're seeking somebody to love you, go to the family of God. Amen. Go to your brothers and sisters in Christ. They are your true friends. They are the ones that won't throw you under the bus. They are the ones that won't turn you over to the enemy. They're the ones that will keep praying for you. They're the ones that will keep supporting you. They're the ones that will love you. Amen. David returned to his land, to those he loved and those he knew. And also, I want you to understand that David was familiar with the land of Judah because as a young boy, he was a shepherd. And he knew the green pastures. Come on, somebody. We know the stronghold, but we also know the green pastures. Brother Chris preached the other night. Wonderful, wonderful message. So they were there. And listen to this. Every day, Saul sought David. Every day. I looked on the map. Ziph's a little place. The wilderness of Ziph. A little bitty town. A little bitty area. A few mountains around. Not that difficult. Amen. But how many knows God doesn't need a big space to hide you? He can hide you in the cleft of the rock. Woo, when the winds are blowing, when the rain is pouring, and when troubles are all around us, when Satan's looking, trying to find us, he can't find me because I'm in the palm of God's hand and he's placed me in the cleft of the rock. Somebody ought to get excited. Amen. Hallelujah. The only time Satan can find us is when we get away from the rock, when we get out of his hand, when we get out of the safety zone. That's when the enemy comes. But thank God he had it. My soul in the cleft of the rock. Have you been there? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Y'all better sit down. I got to finish. Not only did David ask his guidance in everything, he trusted his judgment.
Yes, amen.
Many times we're quick to ask God, but we're slow to trust his judgment.
Come on now.
Because he didn't answer the way that we wanted him to. Or he didn't say what we intended or thought he might say. He may tell us something totally different than what we had preconceived in our spirit or mind. Have you been there? Before you can get up off your knees, you're sitting, oh no, God, surely not that. Amen. And as I said before, God does, oh, I'm sorry, I thought I was talking to somebody else. He doesn't do that. He knows who he's talking to. Amen. He knows exactly. David trusted his judgment. He asked God twice if he should fight the Philistines. Just to be sure. We'll do that sometime. God, I ask you one more time. Really? God gives the same answer, by the way. He asked God if the men of Keilah would deliver him. Yeah, they'll do it. They'll do it. This is the thing about it. If God warns us, why don't we go ahead and do it anyway? Many, many times we do that, knowing that God said no. Uh-uh. Better not do that. You better not go say that. Now's not the time. Come on, you got to have faith to believe. The second suggestion that I want to make today in order to take full advantage of God's safety zone, amen, which is never closed, it's always there. Glory to God. I wished I had some visual effects today. I don't. I just have my imagination. Thank God you can't see that. Wish I had some of them bars. I wish I had some of them. I mean, what a speed bump is. God, why are you putting them things in the way? Because you need to slow down. There's impending doom. Man. But I don't have those visual effects. So maybe you can visualize those as we speak. But the second thing that I want to suggest is obedience. Faith is wonderful. Faith is talked about constantly in the Word of God. We love it. We sing songs about it. We live by it. But it's another thing to obey after God has spoken.
Amen.
God divided this Red Sea. Sure, stretch your rod out. I don't want to do that.
Come on, man.
You just divide it.
Come on.
I don't want to do that.
On,
obedience. Yeah. Obedience. David obeyed God's word in each prayer. Not just the ones that he enjoyed, but each and every prayer. He fought when God told him to. There's a time to fight. Just know your enemy. He departed when God told him to. There's a time to leave. Glory to God. I don't know if I need to dwell on that or not. When you're leaving, you're not running scared. You're leaving because God told you to.
Amen.
And let me tell you something. When you leave, don't be like Lot's wife. I wish he'd have said that to me a while ago. I wished I'd have been there. I'd have told him one thing or two. No, you just get on out of the way. When God says, now if God says turn and tell him, you tell him. If God told Lot and his wife and all of them, said, you can get up there on the hill and you turn around and look and see what's going on, that's fine. But he said, no, don't you turn around. You keep going. There's a time to pack it up and go. There's a time to fight. There's a time to go. God told David, it's time to go. It's time to go because I'm going to protect you. Amen. I'm going to put you in the safety zone. Hallelujah. He took refuge in the mountain and the strongholds of Ziph. We need to obey God all the time. Thirdly, and I may wait for a while on this one, because it's patience. Y'all ready to hear about it? Patience. Hurry up and tell us, brother! Man. David didn't hurry God. He never ended a prayer with, and God, you got to do that by 3 o'clock today.
Come on now.
That whole month. But by 3 o'clock today, you got to do it.
Come on now.
Oh, never mind. He waited patiently for God to deliver him. Even though the men of Ziph, a city of Judah, his own countrymen, were conspiring, turn him into Saul. But David had patience. He stayed in God's safety zone. And this is the wonderful thing. When he went there to go to the safety zone in the mountains of Ziph, Saul heard about it. A little messenger. Thank God for the little messengers that have good news. God help the little messengers is always toting bad tales and falsehoods and innuendos and all of the gossip and all of that. God uses messengers. But God needs to save some of them messengers. Give them a better spirit, a right spirit. This little messenger ran to Saul. Saul, David and his army are in the mountains in the strongholds of Ziph. Well, I'm going to try to hurry up. Saul and his army, all right, they've done defeated the Philistines. Now he can focus his whole attention on David. How many feels like sometimes that Satan and his army is not fighting anybody else but you? He can't be fighting anybody else but you, because he gave you one problem after another. Can't nobody go through what I'm going through. Ain't nobody got as hard as I do. Ain't nobody sicker than me. Sometimes we feel like the entire army. Well, this was the case. Saul and his entire army were now focused. Amen. I mean, they were zeroed in on David and where he was staying in this little mountain stronghold in the city or in the wilderness of Ziph. And he gets up to this mountain. And he's licking his chops. He got him now. We were able to go to a preserve I found out when you take a grandson somewhere and you see one of these pamphlets, don't read it out aloud. Because then we have to go there. Regardless if it's 50 miles away or 100 miles away. Papa, we got to go there. They have tigers there. They got lions there. They got bears there. And I said, why do we want to go? They're in a pen, Papa. So we go. We're walking through. And there's this cougar. You know what a cougar is? Mountain lion? Puma? Big thing laying up on this little hut there. And just that tail just going back and forth like that. And we're walking by. And you know, me and Penny kind of walk. And Trey walks over here and that puma just zones in on Trey. Wouldn't even look at us. We could go like that. And he just zoned in on Trey. And I said, Trey, that mountain lion's looking directly at you. Trey says, he looks at him and he moves and the puma's eyes move with him. Trey goes back over here and the mountain lion's eye goes right with him. Just looking. And we're telling one of the people there, say, or Trey was, you know, he'll talk to anybody. He said, hey, sir, that mountain lion was looking right at me. Everywhere I would move, he would look at me. He didn't look at Papa. He didn't look at Nana. He looked at me. That attendant said, he just wanted a little snack. Truth. Trey said, no. Come on, sometimes we think that Satan's eyes are only on us. Only on us. Amen. This time, that's all he was on his mind right now, is go and kill David. That jealousy had gotten up to a point where it was boiling over. So they encircled him. We got you now, boy. You can't escape now. And see, here's the thing about Saul thinks God's on his side. And David is praying that God's on his side. But Saul is acting in jealousy and revenge, and David is acting in humility and love. That's going to be bared out in this story. So Saul and his army, they've got David and his little 600 men completely encircled. And here comes his little messenger. Saul, the Philistines are invading the land again. Saul has to take his men and leave where he's got David and his men circled and go fight the Philistines. You tell me God don't know what he's doing.
What a coincidence.
No. What a powerful God. Amen. Glory to God. I want to tell you, when you think the enemy's looking at you and only you, when you think that he has you completely encompassed and circled around, you can see no way out. The only thing you have to do is say, God, deliver me. And God will come on the scene. Reason to call them miracles. Praise God. So David and his 600 men leave Ziph and scamper over to the stronghold of En-Gedi. Amen. Another stronghold. Told you God knows where the safety zones are. Amen. You remember the bases you had when you were playing tag as a child?
Some of us have to think a long time ago. Huh?
Safety zones. God knows where the safety zones are. And he sent him from the city, the wilderness of Ziph, over to the stronghold of En-Gedi. Don't be afraid to leave one stronghold when God says leave. He's got another one waiting for you. Hallelujah. So they get to En-Gedi. I'm going to try to blank. This is a lovely story, a wonderful story. You need to read it for yourself. Don't take my word for it. Just read it for yourself. So David and his men there in the stronghold of En-Gedi. And then Saul and his men defeat the Philistines. Their attack is thwarted. He comes back. And he's ready now to take David. Saul's own son, Jonathan, David's best friend, leaves the army of Saul and he sneaks up. And this is amazing. Saul couldn't find David because he had harm in his mind. Jonathan went right to him because he had instruction in his mind. He had love in his heart. When you got love in your heart, you can find a soul. Amen. So Jonathan walks right into the camp there, right into the mountain in the stronghold of where David is. And he says, don't worry. I know my dad's trying to kill you, but it's not going to happen. Not only is your life going to be spared, but you're going to be my next king. Glory to God. Let me tell you something. Not a coincidence. The mighty power of God. God knows where the safety zones are. Hallelujah. And He'll send somebody, a good messenger, your way that'll lift you up, that'll encourage you, that'll be just exactly what you need to hear. Amen. So here comes Saul and his army. And this is just so remarkable. Saul gets off his horse or whatever he's riding, and he walks into the cave to do his business. And it just happens to be the cave that David and his men are hunkered down in. And David's men say, oh, look what God has done for you. He's brought him right into your midst. You can go up right now and you can kill him. And David does not heed the word of those men. But yet he feels compassion, humility, and love. He knows Saul's about to kill him. He knows Saul hates him. He knows Saul is jealous of him. But he also knows that Saul is the anointed king of Israel. And until God raises up another king, he is still under his authority. So David does the next best thing. He sneaks up behind Saul. He cuts off a piece, a hem of his robe. And, you know, we just say, yeah, but you know what? That means I could have killed you if I wanted to. I was that close to taking your life. Can I give you an... I don't give two pastoral advice. I don't need to give it. Well, I'm going to give you one more. Next time you want to slay, kill, destroy your enemy, just be satisfied with cutting off a little piece of his garment. Spiritually. Just to let him know, I could have done it, but I'm not. Had every right to, but I didn't. Showed you mercy. Showed you compassion. Showed you forgiveness. Because that's exactly what Jesus did for me. And for you. Could have killed you. Could have destroyed you. Could have wiped you off. But I just cut off a little piece. Amen. To let you know that I'm bleeding and dying on the cross of Calvary. So that you might live. So that you might have eternal life. Praise God. And then, as Saul is walking away, David confronts him. He walks out of the cave. Ooh. I've been running from Saul for weeks. He's tried to kill me every way, but now the boldness takes over, and he walks out of the cave. Saul! And then Saul turns around. I'm just going to paraphrase it. You read it for yourself. But David begins to talk to Saul. And he says, look at the hem of your robe. I was in a cave. I could have killed you. Could have taken your life. But you are the anointed king of Israel. And I still love you. I still love you. You done me wrong, but I still love you. You wanted to take my life, but I forgive you. And it humbled Saul down. So much so that Saul even confessed to David, God's going to place you on the throne. God's going to give you the kingship of Israel, which was God's plan all along. But we needed some safety zones before he could get there. If you're not where you need to be yet, understand that God has placed safety zones in your life. Learn to recognize them. Learn to take advantage of them. Learn to stay when God says stay. Learn to move when God says move. Thank God for His safety zones. Amen. They can be when you're driving down the highway. They can be when you're sitting in the waiting room waiting to see a doctor. They can be wherever situation you're facing. God can put these safety zones. Amen. Thank God for each and every safety zone He's brought me through in my life. There are too many for me to number. But I'm thankful for every single one of them. Would you stand this morning? Would you reverence the Spirit of God that is in this place? Can I ask our musicians if they would come? Play something softly. With every head bowed, every eye closed. I want you to ask yourself, God, am I faithful? God, am I obedient? And God, am I patient to wait and trust in You? Doesn't matter what you're facing, what situation may arise in your life. It may not even matter if everything is going well right now. Believe me, you will need those safety zones. You will need the safety of God's strong arms. With every head bowed, every eye closed, every saint of God praying, you have an invitation to come down if you need something from God. I'll assure you that one of the greatest safety zones I've ever found is at an old-fashioned altar before God. Bowing my head, bending my knee, and asking God to make a way. And I've never went away not satisfied, because God always sustains me. Is there one today? Hallelujah. Not going to tarry long. You know where you stand with God. I don't. But God knows. God knows your needs. Just learn to trust Him. Learn to be submissive. May God bless you. We love you. Hallelujah. Brother Jim, would you come?